Well, we're glad you're here, and we want to pray as we begin. And we will have a time, I hope, for question and answers. So if you think of something, don't hesitate. We're real loosey-goosey up here, and I think we will be. And so you feel free to say, would you clarify that, please? Okay, let's pray, and we'll begin. Well, Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the privilege, God, that you have created us as women and you want to use us in the lives of other women. And you empower us to do that, Lord. You've called us to do it. And so, Father, we thank you so much just for what you've done in each of our lives and look forward, Lord, to how you're going to use us in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we wanted to ask the question, how many of you are in a discipling relationship now? With either somebody older or, a peer. So we're kind of in a culture of discipleship in our ministries. And so it's not a foreign thing to you. But I wanted to talk, first of all, about why we should. I know that we're all familiar with Matthew 28:19-20, which says to go and make disciples. But Titus 2:3, you may not be quite as familiar with. Judy, you want to turn to that?
Yes.
I've got it. You might want to look at it, too, if you have your Bible with you, because we probably have some different translations. But it talks about older women, the mandate to older women. And remember that you're always older than someone else. You may think, oh, I got to have gray hair before I can do that, or I've got to be a mother and have 5 kids. But that's not true. We can always turn around and help somebody else in the Christian life who are just a little bit behind us. Maybe they've not had the experience that we've had, but God can use you regardless of your age. Why don't you read that verse to us?
So Titus 2:3 says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good.
Okay, keep going.
Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will dishonor the word of God.
Okay. The old King James says, so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. So it says the older women are to teach the younger women. And Paul had a reason for saying that, and I think it's because he knew that younger women need to be helped, that we all need help in our Christian life. Also, we want to talk about some reasons why we ought to disciple. What are some other scriptures?
So, if you guys, John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we need to share the truth of God's word. We need to be not only for ourselves, but we need to be teaching it to others. Does somebody want to look up Joshua 1:8, or does anybody know that verse?
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
So what is that verse talking about? You will have, what was the last part?
Success.
God has given us everything we need right here. And so if we get into this and teach it to other girls, we will have success. Psalms 1, 2, and 3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And so this is just the idea of being fruitful, of multiplying, seeing how God has taught you and how you pass on what God is teaching you so that you can encourage other girls. Therefore, they can pass it on to other girls and you can be fruitful. Also, one more verse, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Same general idea of being fruitful, staying in God's word, and passing that on.
We have the biblical example, as you will well remember, of Elizabeth and Mary. Remember when they were both expecting children? And Mary goes to visit her cousin who is carrying John the Baptist. And so we see that she went to be nurtured. And you can imagine the difference in their ages there, and that Elizabeth was a great encouragement to her.
Okay, so we're kind of talking, there is a difference between like mentoring somebody and discipling somebody. Mentoring is more like, you know, it doesn't require a lot of things. It doesn't require accountability, not really much of a relationship, maybe surface level. You know, you can mentor somebody.
Making a pie.
There you go. Teach somebody how to make a pie, you know, how to cook, do something. Discipleship goes a little deeper than that. It requires time. It requires accountability. And I really liked what, you know, Mike's story that said the other night. It's life on life. It's doing life together. It's not just this, okay, here we go. Okay, I've taught you what you need to go away now. I mean, it's sharing life together. And it takes a lot of time.
And there's more of a commitment there. There's a commitment on my part to be with the girl, being willing to give her the time to share with her, and then her commitment to be faithful and to come and to be together. There are some qualifications, though, and I found a good paragraph, and I wanted to read it to you. What makes us ready to disciple somebody? What are the qualifications? We'll just go say it that way. If you're a Christian and you're seeking to grow in your own faith and live in obedience, then you're qualified for spiritual motherhood. If this is your desire, you want to be spiritually mature yourself. And the combination of spiritual maturity and then the life experiences. Now, you may not have a lot of them as a college student, but you've got a few where you've seen God perhaps work in your life. And you've seen some people make mistakes already in their young life. But these things qualify you. Life experiences and combination of spiritual maturity qualifies you to nurture another and to be nurtured yourselves. Being a female uniquely qualifies you to be a nurturer. Now, you're not going to be an expert. None of us are. And we're all a work in progress, as you've heard. But you've got to be just at least a step or two ahead of somebody else in your spiritual maturity. Paul was smart enough to know that women need other women to help them to apply God's word. Because we understand women. And there are areas of our lives that we're being uniquely feminine really helps. Some of the tools. We're going to talk about tools now. What do you use if you're going to be meeting with girls?
So something that I've been doing recently and have done it, I haven't done this particular until this year, but the Navigators have a set of books called Design for Discipleship, and it goes through the basics, the foundations, who you are in Christ, surrendering to Him, the Holy Spirit. So it's a great tool to use for a new believer. Even somebody that's, you know, I'm doing it with a girl this year who has been a Christian, but nobody has taught her these basics. She doesn't know what she believes, why she believes it. So it's always great to start with the basics to make sure that they've got those, they're grounded in those. And I know the RPL, Real Purpose of Life, are a great tool as well. And then sometimes when I've worked with girls too, if there's certain areas that maybe they're struggling in, they really want to work it, whether it's prayer, you know, read a book on prayer or go through the scriptures. Let's look up all the verses. Talk about prayer. You know, let's learn from this. Two books that I really like. One book is called Strong Women, Soft Hearts. And I believe that is
Paula Reinhart.
Yes, Paula Reinhart. And that is a great book because it talks about we as women, a lot of times we get our heart hurt. Sometimes we don't guard it as well as we should. And so sometimes we tend to close off. And this is a great book talking about that strong women are really the women with the soft hearts, you know, not keeping it calloused. So that's a great book. And then Changes That Heal, Henry Cloud, is that who that is? Changes That Heal. I know they've revised that. I have the really old version, but it's still great. Looking through your past and dealing with that so that you are able to move on into your future.
The Godly Woman by Irma War is a good Bible study. You can get it here or it can be ordered. We're also familiar now with Google. You can quickly find something like that if you're looking for it. When we think about it's pretty obvious when we think, well, what are we trying to accomplish? What do we want to see in this girl's life as a result of our getting time together? And, of course, spiritual maturity is a given. But we want her to see her being able to make wise choices, that she would have some kind of discernment when it comes to the things she's going to be faced with. And then a lot of times this is missed. And it's very, very, I think it's one of the harder things to do, is get the person you're working with right now, depending on her, perhaps she's been a Christian a long time, and you're beginning to go back and go through the basics, but get her passing it on to someone else. There seems to be a stopgap there, because girls think, oh, what do I have to offer? And you know, they need to learn what it means to keep going, to pass it on. Can you imagine? You look at us and you think, that how did we all get here? Well, physical multiplication. And it works. But spiritual multiplication works too. But we've dropped the ball as Christians. And that's the reason that our world is in the mess we're in. One of the reasons. And then a question comes, what about how do you pick a girl? How do you find somebody to work with? One thing you have to do, the basic thing, is pray and keep your eyes open. And perhaps you've got a natural fishing pond to look at girls or to pick somebody. And that would be your campus ministry group, perhaps a Sunday school class. People that are there, you know they have a desire, at least somewhat of a desire, to walk with God. Or to know God. But and your age is going to depend upon whether you come alongside of a girl or you lead her. As you get older and there's more of an age gap, it in a sense there's just a natural response I'll follow, I'll lead. I mean, you lead, I'm the disciplee. But as a college student, I know it's very, very difficult to say to another girl 2 years younger, perhaps, hey, you want me to disciple you? And they think, hey, you're not that much older than I am, and who are you to be, you know, asking this question? And so one of the suggestions as when you're with a peer is to say, you know, I've noticed that in our groups that you seem to have a real interest in walking with God. And I do too. And there's some things I've learned, and I know you probably learned some things. And I'd like to get together and let's have a Coke and talk and share. And maybe would you hold me responsible? I'm memorizing verses, and I'd like for you to hold me accountable to check me on my verses. And so what you're doing, you're coming alongside and you're encouraging her as you perhaps have got a little more spiritual maturity, she will begin to recognize that you are teaching, you will begin to recognize. And it's not that I'm the teacher and you're the student. So if you have questions about that, I know that's a little bit of a hard thing in a peer ministry. The question is, well, what do you do when you get with girls? What do you do?
And I have done all kinds of things with different seasons in my life. You know, as a student, you have time. You know, you get together, have a little chit-chat, catch up, and then, you know, you go over what you're going to do, whether it's a Bible study, whether you're reviewing your verses. You know, you kind of spend time talking about all of that. And then there's the time of prayer, getting into God's Word also. You know, I've done that when I've had a lot more time. And then as I've gotten married and kids have come along, you know, it changes. I can't always sit down with somebody and, you know, we're going to have this serious across the table, you know, time. So just know there's flexibility within discipleship. It doesn't have to be this totally sit down, concentrate, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're moving on, we're done. At one point, I had 3 kids under the age of 4. There's no way I'm sitting down for an hour without distractions. And so it's just life on life. So it could be a casual, you know, it's like, I've got to fold laundry. Will you please help me fold laundry? And then we talk about quiet times. What's God doing? What are you getting out of your quiet times? You know, there's still that interaction, but it's
casual.
Yeah. I have to adapt it to my season of life. And then as the kids got older, or, you know, even taking a walk, it's like, okay, I've got to get the kids out of the house. Do you want to walk around the block? Let's walk and pray. Let's pray for the campus. Let's pray. Is there a student, you know, in your class that maybe God's kind of put on your heart? Let's pray that you can have start building the relationship. So it's just sharing life. It's challenging each other, but then it's also just adapting it to what can you handle? If you can handle the sit down, we have this time, time's up, you know, I need to move on, great. If it needs to be more flexible, you just need to be faithful with what God's telling you to do. And we need to continue to disciple girls. But don't let anything hinder you. It's like, oh, I can't do this, or I can't do this. It's like, what can you do? I can get one girl. We can clean my bathroom. We can talk about God. We can pray, you know. So just keep that in mind of flexibility of doing what you can.
And if you're in a relationship with an older woman and she has children, Julie has alluded to this, that if you'll just say, hey, can I come over and iron? And while you're, you know, I'll help you iron, or I'll
come
do,
on over.
Yeah. And so you can get time and learn while you're observing. Maybe she's making supper and you can observe and help or peel or whatever that needs to be done. But you can get time, and there's that life on life. If you need some kind of a format, it's really helped me at times. Normally we meet with girls an hour, hour and 15 minutes, that sort of thing. But if you need some kind of mental format to get going on this, you might think of, okay, the first 15 minutes we just chit-chat. And maybe last week she told me her mother was ill. And so I want to say, hey, how's your mom doing this week? Or how are things going at school? And if something has major has happened in her life, well, if maybe she heard her mom has cancer. We just scrap the program that day and really pray with her, cry with her, help her. We do away with the little disciplines that we had perhaps had planned, or even the Bible study, if you have a Bible study with her. So first 15 minutes, let's say chit-chat or relationship building, maybe, and this has no particular order, but I want to review her scripture. I want to get her going in scripture memory, and I often let her choose the pace she wants to go. In other words, if she can handle 2 verses a week, great. 1 verse a week, great. We want to be encouraging the discipline of scripture memory. And what I do too, which really helps me, is I don't just check her verses, I let her check me. And it gives, that's great, because I get my verses reviewed too. Otherwise, I struggle some other time. When I know my girl's coming, I go review. I'll make sure I get my verses reviewed. And we can talk about, I may say, Jennifer, why did you memorize that verse? I'm just curious, just to see what God was leading her to do to memorize that verse. But I do, and somebody, I think, mentioned that Max has this glorify the Lord acrostic. And that's a good one to get people going on. We can get it for you. It's very simple. But some basic verses. You don't want to just memorize all these sweet verses that encourage you, and you, then you don't have scripture in your head and heart when you get ready to share with somebody else. So it's kind of like a diet, a balanced diet of a few basic verses. And then, of course, you still do want to memorize what really speaks to you. But another little acrostic that was helpful is, you're looking for a girl when you're praying and you're saying, God, is there somebody in this ministry that would really respond and we could get together and grow together? You're looking for somebody that's faithful, and you're fat, we call it, faithful, available, and teachable. And if they're not, you can't work with them. Yeah, if you just get somebody that wants to come, I mean, or get together with you and just talk, and that's it, or she won't get her lesson done, you know. And As we mentioned, when you've got age on somebody, it really helps as far as your authority. And so as college girls, you're just going to be doing what you can do at this particular time. And it may be a senior working with a freshman, and you'll have that respect. I guess that's the way, I don't know how to say it, but it really does help. One thing I wanted to share with you too is how you, in a discipling relationship, often people have, they're asking questions. What do I do about so and so? Or, you know, I've got this opportunity to go do this. What do you think I ought to do? Well, or maybe so and so's asked me for a date, and I don't know. I think he's a good guy, but I tell her. Let's say I tell her what I think, you know, if I've got questions about it or what, I may give her some suggestions. But let's say she doesn't want that counsel. She doesn't like what I told her. But I also say, this is what I think, and this is what the Word of God says. And by the way, little sidebar here, we want the girls, want people we're working with, to see where we get our answers, not just our own opinion and our own head. But if you can use Scripture and get your answers and help her to see, let's look at this, and this is where what God says. But let's say that she, for reasons I may not know, she chooses to go against my counsel. What you need to do in that case is you need to come back to the person, to me, as if that is me and you, and say, you know, I've really prayed about it, but I think God wants me to do so and so. Well, that's fine. I'm going to support her then in that decision. I'm not God. As a discipler, we are not God, and people have to stand before God with their decisions. Now, the Scripture does say, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And so I would suggest, if you go to your girlfriend and let's say you're wanting to date this guy and he's questionable in his walk with God, maybe you've noticed some things, but usually we're just so flattered by the invitation that we really want to go. And we're really not really wanting counsel from somebody who will discourage it. Don't ask your girlfriend that you know she's going to say, "Woo, wonderful. Just go right ahead. Oh, how good he asked you out." And when really the other counselors maybe have said, "I don't know about that. You better pray because I've noticed this and this and this." Perhaps that counsel would come from your BCM director or his wife or whoever. But sometimes it's easy to want to go to somebody that'll agree with us, and we kind of know they will anyway.
One little add on to, don't make girls a project. I think people know when they're just a project, or if it's, you know, and kind of just going back, pray. You know, pray that God would give you a real love for this girl. You know, that you really see the big picture of really helping her walk with Christ for a lifetime. Doing it out of love and obedience, not, okay, I've discipled my one girl for the semester, check, you know, kind of thing. Don't, just be cautious of that.
One thing that can help too, or just another avenue of showing interest in love, is to give them a phone call during the week. Mm-hmm. You know, go invite them to go do something fun together. Hey, let's go down to Starbucks and just get together. Just talk. Have a good time. And when you were talking about having children and all and doing things, I just think I've seen mothers on the playground. The kids are playing. Mm-hmm. It's okay that they interrupt and do those sort of things. That's life. But you can go with them to the park, yep. You know, or McDonald's where all that play stuff is, you know. Mm-hmm. We've done that.
Yes.
Okay. There is a cost to discipleship. It's going to cost you time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a girl can hurt you. Now, girls, you're here as college kids, and we're kind of sharing stuff that is a little bit appropriate for you to, I mean, where you are. But some of this is as you get older and as you get married and grow in your own walk with the Lord and in your life. But I had a girl that I was meeting with very regularly, She was very attractive. We took a trip, some kind of a group mission trip. It wasn't a mission trip, it was a kind of a conference type thing. And another group went with us, another Christian group there on the campus went with us. And this boy took an interest in her and her right there, and this was Christmas. And so they started dating, and I didn't know it for a long time. She didn't tell me, and probably because she didn't want me to know. It didn't take long before when I realized what was going on, they were just putting the pedal to the metal, and it was going fast. I mean, she was engaged, I think, by Easter and going to get married in August. So we were just questioning, Max and I both, and got with them and were questioning the rapid pace of this thing. Neither one had finished school, and they were in two different ministries. So he was kind of going one way, and she was doing some other, the BCM. And so they thought we were against them, just that we, you know, our questions, our, hey, guys, can, you know, maybe it'd be good you don't know each other that well this quick. Might be nice to slow it down and give the marriage more of a chance. But they went ahead. Of course, she avoided me. It was about, I think, 2 years later. Of course, I heard that they were having trouble. And then they got divorced. And bless her heart, she came back to me and apologized. That doesn't happen all the time. But she's married and has three kids and just doing very, very well. But she's going to be carrying scars. You don't do that without having scars in your life, hurt. And so, anyway, the discipling relationship can be hurtful at times.
Also, when you meet with a girl, she's not just your girl. Sometimes we kind of get this possessive, wait, she's talking to somebody else. What is she doing talking to that girl? She talks to me. Really watch, be cautious of, no, I disciple her. She's my girl. You know, God can use us all. I think that gets very prideful. You can tend to be possessive of people. So we need to be careful to avoid that area.
And sometimes it's very good to do some cross training. What I mean there is to say, if I'm talking to you about your assurance of salvation and you struggle with it, I might say, hey, why don't you go talk to Beverly over in the ministry? She struggled with that too. Ask her how she's handled that, you know, or why don't you go to this staff wife and see, ask her some questions about this area, how she dealt with that or what she was looking for in a mate when she got married. So the cross training is good. You're not going to be the end all and be all in anybody's life. We're constantly, I mean, you come to conferences, you hear things, and you meet with somebody, and you perhaps they move off, and then you find somebody else. But it's a wise woman, I think, who looks for women who they admire and see them walking with God, and they say, can I get some time with you? Can I just come over and talk to you about some things? It may just be a, you know, I'm not asking to meet for the next 3 years. But I'm just got some questions, and go learn. Just be a learner. That's what a disciple is, anyway.
Can I tell two stories,
please?
Accost can be really frustrating too. Frustration, like I've got, for example, this one girl that I've been meeting with for 2 years. A senior met with her before she graduated, and then she came and approached me and asked if she could meet with me, and I prayed about it and said I'd love to meet with you. And so this is my second year. So she has heard the same stuff from this senior girl. She heard the same stuff, still struggling with the same stuff. We talked about this same stuff last year. We're still talking about the same stuff this year. So just trust God and be faithful. She came to me this week, and she was like, I get it. I get it. And so she's talking about how God has just really opened up her eyes and shown her this. And I'm just like, oh, I mean, I just wanted to bawl because I thought, this is what we've been talking about for 3 years, you know? And so don't get frustrated, you know, be faithful and just trust God, that God continues just to work in their heart Another example is, you know, don't give up. Maybe you've discipled a girl or going to, and later on they move off. An example that we have is when we were on staff at OU, we had a girl in our ministry, great girl. We left and we moved to ASU. She followed us because she wanted to be a part of what we were doing out there, and we poured into her. She had a rough background. You know, she lived with us for a little bit. She came on staff. She led our worship. You know, we poured into her. We trained her. We challenged her. And due to her rough background, some things kind of started coming up when we were in Arizona. So she got involved in this Alcohol Anonymous group. Totally cut off relationships with her. We could not contact her. We didn't see her. She just kind of almost just disappeared, you know, from our lives. And so it's been 6 years now. And, you know, I've caught up with her on Facebook and I'll try to, hey, how's it going? You know, she kind of avoids me and is very evasive in her responses to me. The week before we came here, she called me and she said, you know, she's still, I don't know where she is spiritually. And I asked her and she was like, well, I'm not really doing the church thing right now. So I'm like, okay, I know what to keep praying. But she said, you know, I've been reflecting on my life. And I just wanted to call and thank you for how you invested in me, how you took me in, you loved me, you showed me what a family, a healthy family, looked like. And one Christmas, we took her up to my mom and dad's with us because she wasn't going to go home. And she stayed in the basement the whole time. She didn't interact. And she apologized. She said, you know, I'm sorry that I really isolated myself. Is there anything I can do to make that up? And I thought, wow, God is good. I mean, he's stirring something up. So even if you don't see immediate results, God is still at work. And he can use your little seeds that you plant now, you know, to continue to help girls in the future. So just an encouragement. Don't give up.
And if, let's say you're beginning a relationship with a girl, and you don't know how this is going to turn out. You're not sure if she's going to hang in there. And so what you need to do is give them a project, perhaps. And maybe, I'm trying to think, this discipleship library, if you're not familiar with it, there are probably 28,000 messages up there. If you want to go get the real thing from the horse's mouth as far as discipling girls, there are plenty of good messages there. I think if you a girl comes and she's having trouble with finances and you'd like to help her, but you think, what can I do? Go listen to a message. You'll get your cup filled. And we all learn from somebody else. I mean, you may say I've listened to the message if you feel like you need to be honest there, but that's fine. And these are resources here, books to read. There's probably some others. I mean, I know there are others out there. I should have gone and researched what's contemporary. These are probably a little old, but they work. They're the same. They're still good. So this personal disciple making, if you're wondering, that takes you from, it's really, really good because it starts and just incrementally takes you through what you need to do. Because there are some things that the basics are the foundation in a disciple's life that has to be there, and that's assurance of salvation. How many of you have ever struggled with assurance of salvation? Because I did. Okay, because to try to build on a foundation that's shaky like that, you need to take her back through some of the steps of how do you know that you know Christ? Perhaps she needs to pray again. Perhaps she needs to drive a stake. Perhaps she was trusting her feelings. Perhaps she really wasn't saved. And you need to pray again. You need to make sure that foundation is right. And all these basic Bible study books will take you through assurance of salvation, how to have a quiet time, how to memorize scripture, and how to pray, the basics. And so if you are shaky yourself on how to communicate this, when I go back over the basics with a girl, it encourages me. I mean, you think, oh, fill in the blanks, that's elementary. It's not. It's not, because it's got the Word of God. And you're not just reading some words. You're thinking it through, meditating on it. Do you have questions now? Good. Let's go with one.
Has someone ever asked you to disciple them and you said no?
Yes, somebody has. And the reason, the question was, has someone discipled you, asked to be discipled by you, and you've had to say no? Yes, especially when you've got overload. You're meeting with too many already. You can say, I've said to some girls, hey, I can't get with you every week, but call me and we'll go get a Coke and talk. I don't want to just shove her out the door. Maybe if there's another person on the staff or another woman that I can get her hooked up with, I try to do that. One thing that, you know, you have to, it's really hard. Let's say you're meeting with somebody and you give assignments and you get yours ready, and she comes and she doesn't have hers ready. She just didn't get her verses and she hadn't done it. It becomes a pattern. Then you want to say to her, you know, I sense that maybe things are too busy for you right now, and maybe it'd be a better time for us to get together. So why don't we just wait until you feel like you've got more time to give to this? They kind of reject themselves that way, because you're not saying, hey, get out of here, because, you know, you're not serious. But this way, it's giving them an out. And two, if you only have a time limit, say, we're going to meet for 6 weeks, and then we're going to evaluate. If you still want to meet with me, you know, we'll continue, or we can have a time limit here to give an out, because sometimes people don't click, and they think, well, I don't want to do that. So, another question.
Kind of going back on that question, it's really good to know how much you can handle, mm-hmm. to kind of set some boundaries. I remember being on staff, you know, at OU, and when we'd have the wives get together, you know, and people would be meeting with 4 girls a week, 3 girls, you know, and I was like, I got one, because I did have little kids, and I knew this is all I can handle, you know, so there's nothing wrong with just knowing your boundaries, mm-hmm. knowing it's okay to say no, and that's what I've done too, is, you know, it's like, I can't meet with you weekly, but hey, let's go. You know, come with me to the grocery store, or, you know, let's get together once a month or something like that, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing how much that you can handle and letting God use you through that and not being so stressed out, you know, trying to have to meet with all these girls. So just confirm that.
Other thoughts? Questions?
What do you do when you have a girl who really has a desire to meet with you, but isn't, like when you ask her questions, she's very evasive, doesn't actually talk about what's going on in her life?
Okay. This is something that, the answer to this is something that age cures. In other words, if somebody, I'm working with somebody, I tell her right up front, there's no subject in your life, no area in your life that's going to be off limits. If I see something, I'm going to talk with you about it. And you're going to have to be honest with me. Now, working with peers, you can't quite say it that way. Because, you know, but as you get older, and what we're telling you about, of course, deals with older and younger. And, you know, we're just giving you a hodgepodge of things. But do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. You know, if there's a way where you can ask more questions, you know, and if the relationship, I mean, it does kind of come with age, but I've told some girls, you know, when I ask you these things, you kind of seem a little vague, or, you know, is something going on, or is it really hard for you to kind of communicate how you're feeling, or, you know, to try to ask them questions to help them process, why can't I say anything? What's going on in my head? You know, where you're really trying to pull stuff out. And I think time is good. Another example is another girl that I was meeting with. To be honest, I was dreading to meet with her. She was very difficult, and she wouldn't talk. And I thought, God, what am I going to do? I can't. She doesn't talk. She doesn't share. You know, and I mean, we'd be sitting in silence. You know, I'm not the most. I mean, I don't have just all this stuff coming off my head. So we'd be sitting there. I'd be like, oh, okay, God, give me something, please. I mean, now I can't get her to be quiet. You know, I mean, which is great because I'm sitting there going, I remember this and you would talk and, you know, but it's just sometimes when you expose girls to things, they're uncomfortable. They don't have any idea they want it, but they don't know what it looks like. They don't know how to be authentic. So sometimes it just takes prodding, questioning. I think we do have the advantage of being older. Sometimes we can get away with bluntly saying things, you know. I mean, I would continue to pray and just see if you could prod with questions. And
yesterday when we heard the lady, I thought, I was kind of taken aback because I thought, oh, man, I didn't realize this was such a problem. And then for her to say, you girls are going to have to be facing this situation with the guys you date, that leads me to this thing of when you're talking with a girl and you recognize that maybe she's suicidal, she's got great depression, and you're in over your head, perhaps, then that's when you take her by the little hot hand and take her to some help, because you don't have to try to deal with that. And it's okay to say sometimes, I don't know, but I'll find somebody that can help. There are just some things that people, we can't deal with. And so don't feel like you have to try when you don't really know. Any other thoughts, questions? If we didn't answer that completely, we'll come again. With a question. Does that get it kind of? Okay.
Maybe this is a dumb question, but like, what do you think about like age and like spiritual maturity? Like, what if there's, like, I'm 23 and I'm involved with the BSU at Northwest, Missouri State University. Uh-huh. Like, what if there's like a 24-year-old girl who just became a Christian like 6 months ago? Like, you know what I mean? Like, even though she's older than me, like, I don't know. Like, how does that work? Like,
you know, in your ministry, I think when that happens, that person nearly needs to be a sign to somebody, because here she is. She's a new baby Christian, and she needs the basics. And that would be wonderful if your director would say, hey, part of the Christian life, this is just the beginning. You're a baby. We want you to grow. I mean, don't say baby Christian. We want you to grow in your walk with God. And see, that's where the ball has been dropped for ages, is that we walk an aisle or we make a profession of faith or Christ comes into our life and nobody takes us and says, here, now here's how you grow. Here's how you pray. And I'm going to have a quiet time with you to show you how you hear from God, how you meet with God day by day. And so if you can tell your BCM director you'd like to be in line to help somebody like that, then it's kind of like, this is the normal Christian life. You know, we've all been programmed to think it comes later. Maybe you're fortunate enough to get into a discipleship relationship with somebody that can help you. You know, but and I'd say this. You keep looking for people that can you can learn from. I think I just said that a little bit ago. But you keep on. You want to be the learner. And I like baby Christians because the slate is pretty clean. You know, you're not dealing with a bunch of hang-ups from the past or, oh, I knew that. You know, I've been in church all my life. And so that's kind of a fun situation to be in when you've got a brand new baby Christian. And somebody you can, you know, your director might say, you know, would you help her? Would you meet with her weekly and get her going? Wouldn't that have made a difference in all of our lives if somebody had taken hold of us when we first became a Christian and explained what this is, the normal Christian life, instead of having to learn it later on? Thoughts? Another thing in our church, and in your church, there'll be women, older women, and if they heard this admonition, older women are to teach younger women, some of their reaction is, what have I got to share? They won't want to. I mean, they don't want anything I've got. I don't know what to do with them. But you can be an encouragement to them by asking them to mentor you, perhaps, in something they're good at. Then you've noticed it. Maybe you've been at a church potluck and somebody did something really good and you say, hey, can you help me? I'd like to learn how to do that. And so you begin, and then you might branch into a spiritual question. But you build the confidence of older women. They've not, you know, they're kind of out there floundering too, not knowing or thinking you don't want any help. And then, too, they don't know what to help you with. Thoughts? Questions? Good, Peggy.
When you were talking about the hurts, something that I struggled with, being a young pastor's wife, was if the hurt of someone walking away, Satan would give me self-doubt. Could I have done a better job? If I had shared deeper, or if I'd done this, if I'd done that, it's whether someone drifts away, you know, they just kind of go the other direction. If it's something drastic, like going against counsel for a marriage. I had a girl in Arizona that talked about, I've never been this happy before, being in a Christian family. And a few months later, she went back to the abusive boyfriend. I went for counseling. I was crushed. I thought, I should have been able to see this coming. I should have been able to keep her, you know. And the bottom line is, she made her choice.
That's right.
But just the self-doubt that Satan can cast when you're doing the best you can do. And
that's
we have
right.
Romans 8:28 to fall back on.
That's right.
But God's going to work it for the good.
Yeah. Another hurt in ministry. Yeah. To see. What was it that Paul said? My greatest joy is to see that my children walk in love and in peace and in successful. Well, it's girls, it's not easy because it's going to cost you some time. But it's a great time to learn it while you're in college, because as you've heard it being said, you've got a lot of time right now. And you think you don't. But it's going to get worse as far as as far as time is concerned. And so do what you can, learn what you can, and take advantage of that discipleship library. That's another thing you can use with a girl, is just listen to a tape. We call them tapes. They were originally tapes, but listen to a message there. They're free. You can download them. The girl I work with, she has to drive quite a bit, and so she's just downloaded a lot of messages to her iPhone. And so here she goes, and she said, I listened to so-and-so today, and so-and-so, and I'm saying, well, what'd she say? Tell me. I'd like to hear it again. But
Andy Stanley is really good, too. You guys probably northpointchurch.com or .org or something like that. Great. You know, we even did that with a men and women's weekend. You know, great stuff just to talk about. Download.
Well, unless you've got a question?
No.
Oh. Don't scratch your nose. Oh. If you don't have anything else, we'll take a break. But if you've got some other thoughts or questions, I think we're about done. Unless... trying to think if there's anything else that we need to share with you. We need our pump primed. You ever heard that? Ask a question and we can go with it. Okay, good.
Do you think there's like an extent of what you should share with someone? About
your own personal struggles. Yeah. Is there an extent to what you share with somebody? If with discretion about your past, perhaps, And I think it depends as you're reading the situation about, if it fits, if your situation fits and would encourage her. But be discerning, because you don't want that spread all over, you know, wherever. And I don't know. I mean, it depends on the situation, I think. Everybody agree? But if you struggle with some areas and she's struggling with areas and you feel confident in sharing with her, you know, and you don't go over gory details, okay, or too specific. You may just say, you know, boy, I had some dating issues too. And I'm just glad God stepped in. But I understand the temptation. I do. And if God hadn't been there, I would just be gone. You know, wiped out spiritually. Girls, you know that 1 Corinthians 10:13 right now, that so many people have already messed up in some ways. Your generation has been faced with stuff we never faced. I mean, sexual stuff is just blatant. And I think that's why the guys are so messed up. I mean, it was undercover. It's always been, but it's been undercover and not so visible, which would stir up stuff, stir up your old, the lust and the desires. So that's why the truth of the word is so important in your own life. And you've got to be, but if you've got issues that you have are having trouble dealing with, if you've had abuse in your background, if you've been raped, if you've had an abortion, whatever. I mean, and that's quite possible in all this, that you talk to somebody, get some counseling. Because it's like if you've got that stuff in your life and, you know, you say, God, forgive me. Somehow, I mean, he does. But you've got those memories. And it's kind of like Satan, to me, has a chain around your leg. And you grow two feet spiritually and he rattles your chain and says, oh, yeah, but, you know, how could God forgive you when you did that? Well, there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. So as you are not alone, you are not alone. So get some help. You don't have to have that just, it may be a scar in your life, but it doesn't have to be a constant pain. And so it's kind of a tough time to live. And so you really need God's word, God's truth. And you need each other. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor, you know, and get an older, if you need somebody to, you know, an older person, an older woman who can really encourage you in your walk. And I just, even if they're not the most spiritually, you know, I mean, they've not been exposed. They've never had the conferences like this, but they can love you and encourage you. And mother you, and sometimes you need another mother.
And it will come out. I mean, if you don't deal with it, it'll eventually surface. Mm-hmm. You know, I could think of stories, you know, of students that we were in the BSU with and never knew anything. You know, they looked great walking through the ministry, doing their thing, and, you know, a couple years later finding out, I mean, one of them's in prison now because something happened when he was younger and never dealt with it, and he's acted on it, you know? I mean, it'll eventually come out. So do you want to deal with it now and move on and walk with God, or stuff it and have it harder, you know, more consequences later on? But it will surface.
Well, yeah, good.
I think one of my biggest struggles is I want the girls to know that I love them and that I care about them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I tend to be overly nice and back away from the hard stuff and not address the hard stuff. And so, you know, I have a hard time saying, I see this in your life and it's damaging, in it, you know, because I'm scared that they're going to be upset with me and walk away, I guess. But I guess, do you guys have any advice about that?
Well, I think that's where the relationship comes in. Building that relationship. You know somebody loves you when you build the relationship, you do stuff together. I mean, that's how you make a friendship. You spend time together, you live life together, you laugh together, you cry together. You know, there's already that relationship established. And so, you know, there could be the point where, hey, I've kind of noticed something, you know, as we've been meeting, or, you know, that I love you and I have a concern. You know, I kind of see this in your life. Have you noticed that? Or, you know, where it's not just, you're doing this, stop it now. You know, it's this relaxed, hey, I'm concerned. I love you and I see this. Have you noticed that? Or, you know, where you're really asking them. Mm-hmm.
There may be a comment you can make. I may be wrong, but, you know, I anytime you choose to rebuke somebody, I say choose to rebuke, when you see things that need to be dealt with, you can back up and say, you know, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say anything to you that might hurt you or that might upset you. But because I love you and because the Word of God says I'm to speak the truth in love, I want to bring this to your attention. And you pray about it. If I'm wrong, you know, but I really want to see you. When we got together, you said you wanted to grow. And we've all got blind spots, all of us. And this may be a blind spot. So you soften it a little bit. But you do have a... If you know, it's like one of those things, you see your girlfriend getting ready to marry this louse, you know, and everybody's... Oh, excited and jumping up and down, and what do you do? I think you need to say something rather than just say, you know, I love you, but I really have concerns. I just don't think he's that good for you. I think you need to go talk to somebody, get some counsel from some people that know both of you, not just in one of you, but both of you. Well, let's pray, and we'll conclude today. Julie, why don't you lead us?
Father, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you for each of these ladies here and just their desire to learn more about how to really help women and to get help also. And I pray that you would just put on mind a girl for each of these ladies here that they could just really share life with. To come alongside, to walk through life with, to share struggles, and to share with them what you've been doing in their life and to encourage them. And I pray, too, that they would get time with older women as well who could encourage them and help them continue their walk with you and what that looks like. And so I just thank you for this time, and I pray for the rest of the day that we have, Father, that everything that we say and do would just bring glory and honor to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2014. All rights reserved.